up, people? We got another episode of King's Landing. We are in the middle of free agency and draft season. You already know who it is. Your boy, Jared King. Follow me on Twitter at @_TheKing_. Go ahead and follow my brother, Brian King, at KingHead57 on Twitter and Instagram. And shout out to the Barber's Chair Network. Go ahead, follow them on Twitter and IG at Barber's Chair Net. Subscribe to the Barber's Chair Network Patreon at patreon.com/Barber's Chair Network and visit thebcnet.com. So we are, what do you call it, 10 days, 2 weeks, something like that, into free agency. First wave is pretty much done. I guess you can call second wave pretty much done. We're in the thick of the throes of pro days. And, you know, we had a little, you know, we call a conversation on the last podcast about what we think the Falcons should do, what we think the Falcons will do. And I think we checked out quite a few. You know, we got a couple names like Jesse Bates, which I think was the easiest one, you know, star free agent signing for the Falcons. We brought in David Onyemata, another one we were calling, I think another popular one. But shoot, we get into some deep cuts, like, you know, a little Matt Collins signing. You know, I think we got a pretty good pulse on the team. I don't know. I don't know. You tell me, brother.
Hey, brother. Hey, y'all see the results. Y'all see the contracts. Numbers don't lie. We got our pieces. We got the targeted pieces we wanted. Some of the pieces fell through, but I'll take the dubs we got. I'll take the wins all day, especially with Bates leading the chart. You remember I said Hooper? We got Janu. So, you know, I knew that tight end, that second tight end threat would have been a target, especially with the offense that we run. So, you know, with the move tight ends, the motion, you can take Keith Smith off the field and put Janu in there. I'm taking that all day. You put Janu back there with Cordero, Algier. These are the pieces we're working with. And then Ridder plays well off the play action. So you got legit threats underneath and midfield.
Yeah. I mean, you take a guy like Matt Collins. Mac averaged 12 plus last year when he got, you know, nearly 100 targets, averages roughly 13 for his career. He was averaging almost 16 back in 2021. I mean, not a lot of catches, but he was a deep play guy. So you got a guy like that where it's like, you know, they tried the same thing with Bryan Edwards. I'm going to line up 12 personnel, 22 personnel, those type of formation, but the personnel ain't gonna match the personnel talent, ain't gonna match the personnel grouping. And you're gonna be stuck. Like, teams are gonna be stuck. Like, I think I saw a comment made that it was like, basically, Falcons don't understand modern day football because they went and poured money into a right guard, poured money into some D tackles, traded for a tight end. It's like, yeah, they're not going to be the Chiefs, but who can be? It's only one team.
There's only one way to play football.
Yeah.
Like the run game don't matter no more. Like, the trenches don't matter anymore to these folks. It's amazing.
Belichick laid the blueprint. No, we don't have Tom Brady, but you go back and look at the 2011 New England Patriots when they had Wes Welker as your number one wide receiver. You had Gronkowski as your tight end one. You got Hernandez as tight end two. You had Deion Branch as wide receiver two. We ain't talking about no real threat as your wide receiver two. And you had some small receivers. Mm-hmm. They went to the Super Bowl that year. Shout out to Eli. But it's like, yeah, their running back was Ben Jarvis Green Ellis. They went to the Super Bowl. Run a two tight end formation. And then, you know, shout out to our United States legal system for uncovering some unfathomable events from one Mr. Aaron Hernandez. But, you know, the blueprint was laid, and I think they're going the same way. Like, you take the pressure off your quarterback, and you just tell them line up and say, look, you see more linebackers on the field, throw the ball. You see more DBs on the field, run the ball. And Ridder is the type who's not going to – he's not an idiot. Like, he's not Mariota out there who's like, coach, I ain't know what I saw. I just called the play that was called.
Let my legs take me there.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got a point, too. And Ridder, you know, they were praising Ridder for his processing time. So, you know, he's time, quick thinker. If, you know, if that's the attribute, that's his strength as a quarterback, that's what you want. I don't need you sitting up there thinking too much. You see the – safety go this way, you see linebacker step that way, hit them in between and keep it pushing. Second and five.
Yeah.
You know, that's what that's what I like about Ridder too. He has legs in addition to the processing quickness. So if he doesn't see it, he still has that athletic ability to get up out of there quicker than, you know, a pocket passer, and still can throw the ball while on the move. That's what I like about him. He still keeps his fundamentals. He still looks down the field with his shoulders square and delivers decent passes. That's all I need. So
yeah,
and he's not under throwing folks like we saw with your boy at towards the tail end.
Mr. Desmond Ridder was launching that thing. That boy was a young buck. It was like the show pony, fresh out the gate. That boy said, "I don't know what to do, but I'm throwing this bitch 60 yards." So first pass of his career, that boy launched it. He had so many overthrows, and I don't mind him. I know people on Twitter talking about, man, he's inaccurate. Look at these poor throws. Give me a quarterback who will overthrow my deep receiver, and I can rein him in. That boy was not struggling. And shout out to old dog number two, man. I ain't gonna bring him up. I'm trying to not bring him up. But we saw the tail end, bro, was heaving. It was a shot put. We couldn't get the ball more than 40 yards down the field. And now you got a young quarterback who's
on his Mustang.
Yeah, young Mustang. You just got to rein him in. He got good decision making. Just let him get comfortable. Let him get used to the speed of the game. You saw him throwing darts at Cincy. He didn't have trouble his senior year throwing that pass.
Exactly.
But he had a type. If you're going to throw – if Ridder's throwing the ball deep down the sideline, we saw it with Drake London.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to throw it to the big receiver. That's why they went and got Bryan Edwards last year. And everybody's like, oh, Falcons going tall. No, you got a quarterback who got a preference, and we're going to play to his preference. And you got a head coach who has an offense who got a preference. He's like, look, I got two X receivers. I got two tight end ones. I have two running backs. Which is why I think, you know, running back is still going to be fairly high on the board for the Falcons, because you take that off of Cordero's plate. Now you got Weapon X loose with Cordero. Like, you're going to make a mistake against this Falcons offense before you play.
So, and even if they, you know, they go 20 back set, 21 personnel, you know, and go at it with Cordero and Algier back there. You slide Cordero out there with Mac Hollins. We still get that size out there. You put Drake over there, you know, on the other side, and you got some big receivers and some good running backs.
You can go five. You can go five wide. You can go four wide. You can literally trot out 21 personnel, 12 personnel, and shift to a four wide set.
Yeah.
You could put London out there. You could put Pitts out there. You could put Johnny out there. You could put Cordero out there and Algier out there, and literally split everybody wide and leave Tyler Algier in the backfield. And it's like, you got too much size that I needed to put my linebackers out there. And if you play a man, I could just say, all right, cool. You play a man, whoever the linebackers guard, I'm going to put them outside the numbers now.
Yeah.
So now I got DBs in the box. I got linebackers outside the numbers. Man, oh, man. That's what I'm excited for. Like, I think they finally got better personnel. And we ain't got to the draft yet. We just still a free agency. When free agency is still not even done. I mean, you know.
We just still, man.
I like it. I'm excited. So, but, you know, that's Jonnu. That's Matt. You know, we got the Bash Brothers of Bat Shoe. We shout out to Chris. I think we damn near caught the contract on the head. Yeah, man. I think we caught it on the head. 5 years, 20 for Chris. He got 5 years, 21. Like,
exactly.
the best guard in football.
Yeah.
Top 10 O lineman. I mean, I'd venture to put him in top five. He was that much of a dog last year. And that was year four. We ain't got to year five. He's been getting
you better. You don't get worse as an offensive lineman. Not like that. You know what you get. Filthy work. And he got his boy back. Filthy work.
Yeah. And that's what you said. I was like, look, I ain't paying McGarry more than 4 years, $48 million. Terry said, bet, watch this. Brought him back in 3 years, $34 million. Got that, man. He got him at less than $12 million a year. My bar was $12 million, and he beat it.
Magic.
Beat it. Yeah. I was like, and the structure is perfect. I don't know if you look at the structure, but it's literally year one. It's like, cool. You were good. You were good in the system. I'm going to give you an opportunity to get better. Mm-hmm. And if he doesn't get better this year, or if he's worse, or if he falls off, then cut him and save $3 million in cap space.
And draft.
So, yeah. It's literally year by year, McGarry, you're going to have to keep proving. You want your money, go earn it.
And I like how they set up these 3-year contracts as well, because that means we're going to be some work within the next 3 years by this team. They're going to really get after it. And it's like they just said, Lindstrom, we're going to give you 5 more years because you're going to be here. We're going to stretch your contract out. We're going to pay you, keep doing you, keep working, being a model citizen, model Falcon. And yeah, let's keep rocking. They, like you said, they're getting aggressive right now. So I like the picks that they signed as well. I don't have big gripes on them that we signed. We signed Saints, but I don't mind.
Yeah, no, I like
got big Eddie Goldman back in the fold.
Welcome back. And I like, yeah, like the offense is set. And I tweeted this, and somebody was like, "Oh, we still need this. We still need this." And I'm like, guys, the draft. You want to go into the draft? Largely plugged. Shout out to Scott Karasik. We're gonna get Scott on here one day. But he, you know, he does a good job every year putting together like a little, you know, moving roster to show you kind of like the needs. Other than quarterback, which is preference, Falcons don't have a need on offense right now. And so you're going into the draft improving your offense if you add somebody to the group. Like you go in set. You're not going in saying, I need this. If they line up today, they can line up.
Straight up. Which, and that's why I say we are literally there at that point. Why not draft Bijan and just focus on the defense?
Yeah. I mean, that's what they
for the next 3 years.
Yeah, it's like I know TD tried to do that, but he would pigeonhole himself where it's like, all right, my first round pick is going to feel like he would shape it where it's like, all right, I'm going this position in the draft. And if teams are like, all right, I know exactly what you're about to do, they're just gonna jump in front of you.
Yep.
And now you're picking scraps. Like he caught a couple breaks, but then he also had to get desperate. Like, yeah, you traded up to get Desmond Trufant because everybody knew you needed a corner and that worked out. But then it's like, you know, you needed a pass rusher. You traded up for Tack and missed versus just let the draft come to you. Like this is the classic Raven style where it's like every year, how the hell did this person fall to Kyle Hamilton?
The Ravens.
Fall into the Ravens because the Ravens would just sit there and be like, y'all dumb as hell. Thank you. I'll take them. Like please and thank you. So, like, that's what I'm waiting on. I mean, the only things left, we can shift over to the defense. I mean, the only thing you really need, maybe a pass rusher. I mean, I don't know how they're looking at
it. Maybe. But it would be that – what's his name? From the Saints, that D lineman that you were talking about last episode, that body type, prototype.
Davenport? Yeah, I mean,
yeah. It'll be just like that size.
Yeah, that's why they brought Calais in. Shoot, you saw they had Calais in for a visit.
Bringing that veteran leadership.
Yep. You get you 6'7", 290, who's been doing it to teach a Taquan Graham, to teach a little draft pick. Let's say you go get Zach Harrison from Ohio State. Zach Harrison, 6'6", 275, raw. Like, flashes. You are like, oh, bro's a problem. But, like, the stuff that he don't, you know, it's a reason he's not a first-round projection, but they clearly got a body type.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you added a 6'4", 300 pounds on Yamada. Taquan Graham, 6'5", 295. They're going to get Grady loose.
Good fighters in there.
They're going to get Grady loose. And Caden Ellis is a problem. Think about it. They are like, look, we are going to beat you to shit on the inside. We're going to play 3 down linemen, 4 down linemen. We're going to play light boxes. But you're going to have to deal with so much with the 3 down linemen that Ebiketie's still coming and Caden Ellis still coming.
Mm-hmm.
And we ain't even sent Troy on a blitz yet. Like, they got pieces.
And we got speed, though. Finally.
They got speed. They got tenacity. And even a guy, we were giving him a hard time all last year, but Michael Walker. Michael Walker is a better fit with what I think Ryan Nielsen's going to try and do just based on what he was able to do with Caden Ellis.
Yeah. I can see that.
A move around type. Michael Walker is not one where you just like go play linebacker. Put Michael Walker on the line. Put Michael Walker on the edge. Move him around and give him different assignments and let him kind of do some of everything. I think that was his biggest issue. They tried to make him lead dog middle linebacker. And it's like, bro, that is not what it is.
That's not it.
And it's not a slight to him. Like, that's what we kept saying. he is being used wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So,
is he a cut candidate?
No, not right now. I wouldn't be surprised if they draft Jack Campbell at 44. Michael Walker's days are numbered. Jesse Bates will be wearing the number 3 come September. I don't know if you watched any Jack Campbell tape yet, but
yes, I have, brother. That big day, he can rock and roll now.
Man,
that yes, boy, sir. Is. That big fella can go.
He's 6'5", 250.
That big fella can go.
You let Jack Campbell just play football. Him, Troy, and Caden.
That's rock and roll music all day long, buddy.
Man,
imagine those practices. Going against Lindstrom and McGarry.
Wild.
That's raw.
And wild.
I would love that.
I would love it. But it's stuff like that where it's like, bro, all right. You take Christian Gonzalez at 8 and you looking at 44 like, I mean, Jack sitting right here in my face, what you want me to do?
I would not mind a third round running back, even though I've been pounding the table for Bijan. We don't need a back. To tote the, you know, to take on the mantle. I just want that X factor. But you draft a third round back, you good. That's Norwood.
It's starting to get crazy. Like, that's the thing. Like, I think, and I also think, I wouldn't be surprised. The reason why I'm starting to kind of like put Christian Gonzalez in some pen on my list instead of pencil. I ain't erasing it. I think he is the pick at 8 if he's there. Just because if you look, Kyle Pitts, when they drafted him, was 20. Drake London, when they drafted him, was 20. Christian Gonzalez would be 20.
Yeah.
And you get a kid who was balling, dominating as a teenager in college football. He was exactly. A teen locking folks up. So it's like, eh, I got a long run. That's 10 years that I can work with of a freak. 6'1". 200 freak.
And can play.
I ain't taking no, he ain't 24 out there. It's like, all right, you a grown ass man clamping up kids. You a kid clamping up. Like Kenny Pickett. Kenny Pickett's older than what you call it? Justin Herbert.
Older than Gardner Minshew.
Yeah, he old. And it's like, oh, we're going to take Kenny Pickett. Kenny Pickett old as hell. Joe Burrow, the only old prospect that was that guy that came in and was like, all right, yeah, you were for real. In a minute, in my opinion. Like, I get not betting on these old prospects.
I would love to see Joe Burrow without Chase.
Oh, man, we ain't talking about no Bengals out here, man. I hope Joe Burrow and Chase break every single record in the books. I want them to be like Tom Brady and Randy Moss every season.
Yeah, I like
smoking. Carson, they Carson Palmer and Chad Johnson, man.
Yeah, they got a type.
Yeah, like I love it. Like, get Ritter his man. And if Ritter not his man, get Drake his man. Like, but yeah, what like I'm excited.
What you signing, brother?
I'm all right with it. I know there was a little pushback because it was a 2-year, $7 million deal, which I don't understand why people are calling that an overpay or crying about it. It's the same money that Isaiah Oliver got, basically, for the same type of player.
Isn't this a first-round vet?
Yeah, but he just ain't been that good. Jared Gray knows him, so I get the familiarity. It's like, you know, he – So if you look at it, Isaiah Oliver, it depends. I think it's just a matter of how they're going to run the defense more. Isaiah Oliver is better in run support. He got the frame. He's 6'1", 200. You know, he quasi-safety. So he could play that. But you ain't really want Oliver too much deep.
No, even though he had length.
Yeah, you want Oliver 10 yards and in, maybe 15 yards and in. And if they're not asking that of the nickel,
right?
Then cool. I mean, if you look at the stats, Mike Hughes got more plays on the ball than Oliver does. He's got more forced fumbles than Oliver does, and so I get it. So I mean, I'm fine with it. That don't take corner off the board. You go Christian Gonzalez at 8. You got him and AJ on the outside. Casey Hayward is your nickel at that point.
That's so a nice rotation.
Exactly. With Mike Hughes coming Gonzalez in there. Four.
And you got your safety. Like, AJ, play football. I'm going to hang over the rookie. Like, that solves the back end for years.
That's why
you just draft everybody in between.
Now you see why I'm like, I got Christian Gonzalez at 8. Because you literally have a no-fly zone where it's like, I'm now the Falcons defense is dictating terms in terms of what passing concepts you run. It's like, cool, you can line up against the Bengals and say, all right, cool, you got Chase, you got T. Higgins, you got Boyd. Yeah, you got three dogs, but only one or two of them going to go off versus all three of them like they cooked our asses last year. And at that point, too, quarterback's like, all right, AJ gonna disrupt timing on wide receiver one.
Mm-hmm.
Gonzalez should be able to do the same thing to a degree on wide receiver.
You got Bates, you got to worry about. You're not going to just throw the ball quick.
And then Jesse's like, all right, I'm watching. I already know you're going to go one or two places. So go ahead, throw that ball in the middle of the field. And now you got Richie in there hitting. You got Caden Ellis in there hitting. You got Troy in there hitting. Like,
sideline to sideline.
Yeah, man. Like, I think corner 8 is the best bang for the buck to turn the offense around, unless Jalen Carter is there at 8 and even Tyree Wilson.
I've been watching some more Tyree Wilson tape. I like him. He's missing just a little dog. Like, he got size, but he's missing that explosive.
You put him in there and just say, Tyree, as a rookie, just blow up your gap.
That's why you bring in Calais.
Exactly. You say, daddy. Calais, I don't even need you playing more than 500 snaps, but teach Tyree how to be you.
Yeah.
Just let him. Yeah, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, we're not at the point now where we need a guy like Tyree to go be, mm-mm, you know, DL1. Because they you got Grady loose. You got Onyemata in there beating ass. You got Grady in there beating ass. Taquan in there. Goldman, if he comes back with any kind of promise. Now Tyree getting a bunch of one-on-ones to just go blow up the play. Like, go just wreak havoc. Because then you still got Caden and Ebiketie. Like, that's the thing now where it's like, we ain't so decrepit on the D-line. Right. That a guy like Tyree, who he ain't the type who's going to turn the corner, but you put him at a 3-tech, you put him at a 5-tech.
He's going to make some plays.
He's going to beat up your offensive line. So
6'6", 275.
Yeah, that's a problem.
He's a big man.
I'm tired.
He can get up to 295 and be fine.
Exactly. You can get up to 295. Now you got Taquan on one side, Tyree on the other side, Grady and Onyemata.
Like, dude,
with, and that's just four. You still got Fofo Blaze coming from Troy, and you got Caden Ellis. It just becomes a problem real quick. And the corner depth is so much so that it's like,
send them
who I can get at 44. A guy like, you know, I know you don't like how light these corners are, but you get a guy like, you know, Emmanuel Forbes, who would be a good CB2. You go get DJ Turner out of Michigan, good cover corner. Like, it's enough corners in the draft there. Who you get at 44 with Bates over top of
it doesn't matter.
Still good.
Yeah.
Like, you're not out there, you know, sucking wind.
You could teach a rookie to get beat, play underneath.
Yeah.
Shoot. you got your star safety hanging and waiting for you to let him loose.
Just send him.
Mm-hmm.
Know your coverage and send him. Send him to your help. Like, you go get Julius Brents, 6'4". Go look at your boy Quentin Johnston out of TCU. Go look what Julius Brents did to him.
What team is this?
Kansas State. At Julius Brents was balling in the Big 12 championship.
Not on the big stage.
Yeah. That was the first time I saw him. I said, who is this? So, but yeah, I mean, I'm excited. Like Terry did a good job. Like, you know, a couple of people are like, I don't like what the Falcons did. Cause, and the other thing, you know, you and I agree, you build this thing up through the middle. Mm-hmm. I don't care how football ain't 7-on-7. 7-on-7 is 7-on-7. You all still right. got to deal with the trenches. You still got to deal with linebackers. You still got to deal with safeties. If you want to win outside the numbers, go for it.
Mm-hmm.
But every team, Kyle, want to eat up the middle of the field, get the run after the catch.
Exactly.
The Chiefs, the since 2015, Travis Kelce got the most receiving yards.
In the league?
Travis Kelce.
Really? That's crazy. Yeah,
tight end. Them boys have built that offense around tight end, which is another inspiration that right. I got for the offense. You're gonna they got Kyle Pitts. It's only so many people. Once he gets settled and you got a real you saw him getting loose.
He's got a problem.
You saw him getting loose.
Seen him get loose. You know what he can do.
Mariota was getting loose. I mean, Kyle Pitts was getting loose and Mariota just couldn't hit him. And it's cool. And now you got Drake London. Now you got Mac Hollins. And you've seen the Falcons already looking at speed receivers. Trey Palmer out of Nebraska ran a 4.32. Tyler Scott out of Cincy ran a 4.32.
You know, I like my boy Dale.
4.3 speed. Like
Blaze.
It's clear. You could look at who they're looking at in the draft. They're like, all right, we got the power. We got the physicality. Now, when you, again, you put the wrong personnel on the field, you got a linebacker guard and a Tyreek Hill type of situation.
I don't know.
Or you just say, all right, he got 4.3 speed. You know I'm going to send him deep. And you got to back up. And now the middle of the field, Drake coming on a deep dig, Kyle Pitts running a seam or something like that. Like, Falcons, 10 wins. I'm going to keep saying it. I'm going to keep saying it.
Oh, yeah, We're going to get 10.
12 months from now, we're going to play every clip of us saying Falcons, 10 wins.
Before the draft.
Before the draft, bro. I don't even care.
Yeah, bro. No, they're building this pretty good. It's taking shape. And I, like you said, we can focus on the, you know, the luxury players. Everybody's pretty much set. Like, I will take George. If it is, I'll take him because he feels what is he left guard,
swing tackle,
was on the right.
I mean, yeah, where he played, I think, yeah, he stepped in for McGarry this year, but yeah, no, he stepped in. I mean, he gonna be your swing tackle. Your swing interior lineman is going to be Jalen Mayfield, and Jalen Mayfield, I'm pounding the table for you. I don't care if I'm the only one in this corner.
You saw where I was heading. I'm glad you caught it. He's been mighty quiet.
They protected him last year, I think.
And mighty quiet. Yeah. Was that second round draft capital?
Third. But, I mean, again, he was 20. Bro was 20. He played right tackle at Michigan. And they put him at left guard. So, it's like, not only did you move me from tackle to guard, you moved me from the right side to the left side. And that boy was not supposed to see the field, man. They had – what you call it, got hurt in camp. Like, both the people in front of him got hurt to the point where they were like, oh, damn. Like, he literally was supposed to be a weekly game day inactive. And they threw that man. They were like, bro, we don't have no choice. You got to play. So it's like, and then, you know, this past year, it's like, oh, he got a back injury. He could have had a back injury, but I don't think he had a back injury to the point where he should have missed the whole season. But it's like, Elijah Wilkinson was balling. And then, you know, Hennessy stepped in. Hennessy balled out the little time he did play, to the point where it's like, do not put Jalen out there by any means. Like, just let him keep developing. And he is a 2023 camp competition candidate.
Right.
Which is what he should have been. It's just, you know, they didn't have the depth that they had last year in 21. Mm-hmm. And so now everybody's like, no, hell no, he sucked. He ain't never going to be good. All right. Caleb McGarry took a little while.
He back swinging now.
You don't find too many 6'5", 330 maulers. So, I'm rooting for Jalen, man. I hope if he have a bounce back, I don't know if left guard is his spot. Like, I think he's still a right side player, but I mean, I said I didn't think Matt Hennessy could play guard. Look at him.
Yeah, look at him go.
So, and even if Mayfield ends up just being just a decent, you know, interior depth piece, yeah, it sucks you got that at, you know, in the third round. That's pretty expensive. But, again, he's still only 22. What if you keep him and he come around 28 and is like, bet, I'm ready to rock. You just – I'm cool with just stashing him and waiting.
You know, we're going to see how much time does he have. But he's been stashed for a minute. It's time to get some butter.
Two more seasons. You know, he only got a four-year contract. So, if he can beat Elijah Wilkinson this year, he's going to beat him. If he can't, you know – Elijah Wilkinson was good.
That's a huge plug that we missing that we could be using right now.
What, third round?
Well, I mean, his position just as a whole, like, we could be wearing folks out. I can see them putting him on, like, an overload on the outside.
Let he got beat out.
Well, I'm saying, like, on the outside of the outside.
Jumbo.
Yeah, like a jumbo. And now he's blocking linebackers and DBs and
yeah, ends. Like he's O-line seven for me right now on the team. Like he's clearly not in the starting five. He's not right. Swing tackle one, but yeah, he next up where it's like if he could beat out Ifedi for swing tackle, that'd be interesting. Now I think they've done a good job of putting competition behind your starting group where it's like, cool, I got Jake, I got Lindstrom, I got McGarry. If you want to play, win at center, win at left guard. That's it.
Yep, that's it.
So, I like how they got it set up right now. Hey. So,
and the head coach is a line coach. So, better perform. Awesome. He got his thumb on the pulse of the team, or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, we had, and it's still not, you know, obviously it ain't the best unit, but like we only 3 years in, and it's like, okay. Like you got comments where it's like people are like, yeah, Falcons got one of the best run blocking O-lines in the league. They ain't said that about us since 17. You ain't said Falcons O-line and
best. No, it had to be before that, before the Super Bowl.
No, I'm saying the last time they said it.
Oh, even then, like after the Super Bowl?
Yeah, 2017, we still was dogs, bro.
I guess that's that season is like wiped from my memory.
Yeah, man. 2017. Yeah, everybody was just like sleep. Everybody was zombies in 2017. It's like, man, we just need to get back.
Right. Here we are. Here we are.
I'm excited, man. So who you we're gonna start talking draft, man. You know, now that free agency is largely over. You know, we got a good idea where we're going in the draft, man. You know, we're going to talk about draft coming up. We're going to have a couple people coming up on the pod. But we're going to put you on the spot right here. Who are your top five wants in the draft outside of B. John?
Top five wants?
Yes. No B. John.
Okay. B. John number one. You remember you asked me 1A last time. I ain't had no one. I ain't had one nothing.
All right. We're going to go.
Know, I got draft. Of course, B. John is number one.
B. John.
I'll put Gonzalez at two.
All right.
I got to drop Big Fella 88 down to number four because I got to put Tyree number three.
Ooh, you want Tyree more than?
Yeah.
Bull in the China shop.
Can I do five and a possible?
Yeah.
Give me Van Ness at five. Give me Witherspoon at possible.
Okay.
You like that one?
I ain't on the Witherspoon train yet.
Hey, my boy be hitting.
I'm putting it on wax. I'm sorry.
He be hitting. I'm telling you. He got good coverage. He got good numbers, good technique. The boy's a problem. I want to see where he goes.
That's my thing.
Right. Like, he likes though.
That's my thing. Like, he 5'11", 180. He little, and he can't get bigger.
Where he from?
Where is he from?
Pretty sure he's from Florida. You know, football different down there.
Where's this young man from?
Yes, sir.
He's from Pensacola. Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, I'm not biased. I loved Jair Alexander when he was coming out. You could see the dogs.
Yeah, you can.
He a dog.
6 feet 180, bro. You wouldn't take 6 feet 180.
Witherspoon.
Yeah.
That man was 5'11". He may not be bigger than Bryce Young.
Hey man, that Wikipedia, you know, Wikipedia be you know, it'd be sometime.
No, I mean, I like him. Like, that's the thing. I don't dislike him, but at eight, I'm
not at eight.
Very rich, bro. Like, oh,
where are we in the second?
44. Oh, he ain't making it to 44.
Oh, he doesn't. And we're not about to trade up for that.
I could see.
I'm gonna trade back real, and double up.
I'm gonna say something real bold.
Uh-oh.
You're not gonna like it. I agree with your top five, but if I had a possible, take Witherspoon out, Nolan Smith.
Yeah, you know I'm not fooling with that. You see, I ain't even fool with him. He ain't even in the top five. I can't get with him, man.
I can see it before Witherspoon, bro.
I just like Witherspoon. I like how he hitting and he from Florida, but he playing up north.
I can see it, bro. When you talk about
bro, dog, bro, look like he gonna be in the league for a long time.
Yeah, he gonna be. Yeah, I don't disagree. But if they mess around and get Calais, and you add a second level piece who was 99th percentile in the 40-yard dash with a 4.39, 99th percentile with a 1.52 10-yard split. 98th percentile with a 41.5 inch vert, a 95th percentile with a 120 inch broad jump. You take a chance on that versus Devon Witherspoon. He's small. He's not overly exceptional, physically speaking.
Mm-hmm. And that's why I won.
Like, if you had second-level players where it's like you got 4.4 speed and Troy Anderson, you got a versatile Fool and Caden Ellis, you got Calais, Grady, Onyemata, Taquan Graham on the D-line, and you take a Fool who can run with any running back, who can set a mean edge. Like, that's what I'm saying with Nolan Smith. I get but he just like one of those like multiple chess pieces where it's like, how the hell can he guard Kyle Pitts but then set an edge and stop a read option by himself?
Yeah,
that's what he did at UGA. Like, it ain't far-fetched. Like, he's 99. He's one of those players that I think people are gonna be like, damn, yeah, we should have bet on him. Like, I think him getting hurt, you know, kind of quieted his stock, but like, you know, you go watch that Georgia tape. They had that man bullying O-lineman, you know, that got 100 pounds on him, 50 to 100 pounds on him, and he could still fly. Like, I know it ain't sexy. I know it's a big gamble, but I would rather take that roll of a dice than betting on a corner who's 5'11", 180. With little arm.
Yeah, man, I understand that.
That just scared me so bad.
I don't know. I'm just not on the train. I mean, I know he's from Georgia.
I get it, man. I get it. He'd be one I wouldn't be surprised if they traded back, though, on some like, all right, we can pop down a little bit, roll the dice, see if we can get him.
Right. We're going to see, brother. I'm just, you know, I think those numbers look good, but he's – it doesn't stick out to me on field. I need him to jump out on film, and he just doesn't do it for me. I don't know what it is. I guess he don't use his hands like I want him to.
You want folks to play football like it's 2005 and it's not that age no more.
You gotta have technique though, brother. He don't be having. He don't. I need him to give me the technique. He's 6'2", 238, 6'2", 240. He's not that big of a presence, and I feel like. I feel like if one of them big tackles get a hold of him, they will do him dirty at that size.
I'm gonna send you some clips of what he's been doing to these tackles, bro. They haven't done it. He was at UGA, bro. It's not like I'm saying he from like Temple or
understand. That's what I'm saying. And I think he was hidden in that. Like I don't see the explosion on tape. Like the metrics are there, but I don't see him. Like the metrics look like Clowney type metrics. He not doing that.
Yeah, he more Rashawn Gary, and I made the mistake of saying the same thing for Rashawn Gary, and he went up to Green Bay, and they be putting him in everywhere, and he just be making plays.
Yeah, he different though. I like Rashawn Gary.
Same player. I ain't like Rashawn Gary. I was like, I don't know what you do with him. You just take a freak in the front seven, and just say,
do what you do.
Do what you do. Who too slow? Who's too soft? And let Nolan go beat him up. And it's like, if Ryan Nielsen can do what he did with Caden Ellis is half the athlete that a Nolan Smith is.
Yeah, that's why he's on the field too, because he got the intangibles outside of the athletic ability.
Yeah.
He got that dog. He be getting to the ball.
So, I mean, and like, that's the thing. Like, hey,
I'm looking at his weakness. Just on NFL, very average pursuit speed for a smaller player.
Hey,
you got to get after it. That's all I'm saying. So, you know.
Hey, I get it. I just keep going back to Ryan saying, you know, stopping around with a light box. And if you're going to do that, that's three linemen, three linebacker, 3-3-5 type boxes, you know. And you're going to need them hybrid defenders who are just like, all right, I'll knock an old lineman over or I can run. But I get it. Maybe Christian Gonzalez me at 8, and you just go, you take a Keon White out of Georgia Tech. That's another free.
I'll take him. I like this game.
Yeah, you're not rolling the dice on Nolan Smith in the top five, but, you know, he's 6'5", 270, running with running backs.
Still giving you what you need.
Yep. So, it's going to be fun.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. When is the date for the people, like myself? Draft.
We are 1 month away, brother. Detroit. Detroit. Motor City. It is coming.
Talk to him. I might buy some buffs just for the draft.
Man.
Shout out to Prime.
Oh, no, it's not in Detroit. It's in Kansas City this year. My bad. I'm putting him in Detroit. My bad.
I'm on the podcast like that. What's wrong with you?
Man. Hey, Dante, cut that out.
Shout out to Detroit.
Cut that out, producer, man. No, draft April 27th in Kansas City. I don't know why I had Detroit in my mind, but.
You got Detroit on your mind. You need to go up there. We'll see the good people.
Probably because I'm sitting here watching this Michigan State game.
Don't tell me about it, please.
But yeah, I'm ready, man. We're gonna have a little special guest on next episode. We're gonna see our boys. Falcons, 10 wins. Inbound. Go ahead and wrap
it up. And to get in. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this has been King's Landing Podcast, co-host at Kinghead 57, Brian King, and my brother. At ___ the King ___ on all your platforms, especially Twitter. Check us out there. You want to get in tussle with these words? We're going to do it. We're going to throw these hands because Musk let us do it. So, y'all have a good one. 10 wins, brother.
10 wins. Don't need two hands. All of your hands this season, Falcon fans.
Peace.